Ooh, yeah, we're back. After the holiday season, we are back in 2015, ready to throw it down on all the professional wrestling. No one is exempt. No one will get away from the wrath of the Danger Zone. Not even you, Chris Walder.
Well, just to say off right off the bat, I was going to say Happy New Year, but now you're getting a little bit violent with me.
No, Randy was violent with you. You haven't separated. I do not have anything to do with what Randy says.
How many shows are we in now, and I still can't differentiate between you and your Savage impression?
I don't know. You should get this down. Like obviously, it's not really Randy, but it's not necessarily the views of those of James Borbath, which is me. He is Chris Walder. We are back after a couple weeks off for the holidays, and a lot has gone on in the world of professional wrestling. A lot of it not so good, but you know, that was par for the course when we left, I think. Surprisingly enough, Chris Walder, I actually want to kick off the show, and longtime listeners of the show will be shocked. I do want to talk about the TNA wrestling.
Is the holiday spirit still with you? Because this is a very drastic change. TNA to start the show. I'll be damned.
I know. It won't be a long conversation, but it will be the longest conversation we've had on this podcast. But I did feel compelled to check out their new show on Destination America, which we can't get here in Canada, by the way. Oh, and by the way, you can't get it in major cities like Boston, Chicago, and who knows where else. We'll get into that a little later. But first and foremost, before I watched their debut, I don't know if you caught this, but I listened to Dixie Carter do a podcast with Jim Ross, and it made me laugh. Dixie Carter just, for the whole entire interview, tried to say what Jim Ross wanted her to say.
Well, that's why should that surprise you, you know?
It doesn't, but it's just like, it was just, it's night and day. I always listen to Bauer and Pollock, which is a great podcast, with Court Bauer and John Pollock, MLW Radio, The Law Radio. They also talked about this, and I heard Court Bauer's thoughts on the new TNA before they had launched, and I heard Dixie's, and it was like dream versus realism. And I think we can figure out who was who.
Yeah, no, yeah, we don't have to guess there. It's just, but, you know, with Dixie Carter, she's not going to say what everyone else is thinking, right? Because there's so many people who are against her product at the moment. She's not going to go on the air and pretty much, you know, deliver the same kind of opinion. She's defending her company.
But why is she placating to JR? Isn't JR the guy that she made fun of on Twitter, accidentally not realizing it wasn't him that was saying this, and attacked this fake JR thinking it was the real JR? Did anyone remember that?
If she can continue kissing Jim Ross's ass, maybe in the back of her mind she'll think that he'll somehow end up with her company.
That's not going to happen. We'll get into Jim Ross, who did some wrestling commentary on another show in a little bit. But the TNA show, here was my one positive was they changed their announce team. I think Josh Matthews did a great job. I thought not only did he do a great job, he kept Taz from being annoying as much as he normally is, which that in and of itself is a plus for anyone who chooses to watch this show.
Well, he's better at working with color commentators than Mike Tenay was. Mike Tenay was all about, you know, calling the holds and whatnot, and he would occasionally get into these really random conversations that would go on and on and on, but Matthews is better at controlling his situation, but I had the opposite opinion as you. I wasn't really thrilled with his commentary right off the bat. I think, you know, when he comes from WWE where the energy is a lot higher and there's more fans in the building, I thought it was just kind of just humdrum and very mellow. When something important happened, he just kind of kept it on the down low, and it didn't really work for me, but it's the first episode, and hopefully he'll gather himself and be a little bit better moving forward.
And Mike today is doing this weird behind-the-scenes show that we have yet to see yet. I shudder to think what this show is going to be. This all reminds me, this whole new direction for TNA, before we get into their show specifically, this all reminds me of when WCW was trying to do those reality angles. Most famously when they had that match where Kevin Nash brought up the fact that he has creative control in his contract and was not going to lose a match.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, wow. Yeah, they're trying to get more serious, almost kind of have like that UFC feel where everything is real, but it's so hard to pull off in professional wrestling because everyone is a lot wiser to that stuff.
I disagree. I think they're trying to make it like a reality show, and you can't make wrestling a reality show because, oh, by the way, wrestling in and of itself is a reality show, and it's stupid. Like, you can't turn TNA into Total Divas.
Yeah. We already have one of those. We don't need another.
Yeah, and it's not nearly as compelling with TNA's roster. I mean, I'm sorry to break it to them, but it isn't. Let's talk about the specifics of the show. I thought the opening, I hated it. Like, they had that brawl right off the start, and it was like, oh, okay, this is to shock people into, oh, here we are, we're all, like, new, and there's this big brawl, and people were all over the place. One of the things I didn't like about the brawl, it illustrated the fact that they had a lot of empty seats at that arena.
You were able to even pinpoint that because the entire arena was in complete darkness.
Well, they had to, though, because some of them were brawling up in the stands, and you could see all these empty seats behind them, and I was like, okay, that instantly was a mistake. Like, and just the chaos of it all. And then, oh, by the way, you have a brand new announcer in Josh Matthews who doesn't really get to introduce the fact that he's new to the product, and here I am. No, he's just calling a brawl with Taz right out the gate. I just thought it was ridiculous.
Well, they had announced it on their website and on Twitter, so people were aware that he was there. But sure, they should have done something on the actual show to say, hey, Josh Matthews is our new play-by-play guy. You know,
well, they did, but it was after all the brawling and nonsense that went on, and I just thought it was a cheap way to open the show to try and get a reaction, and I thought it really didn't do anything for me.
All right, fair enough. I actually haven't watched the entire show. I go on YouTube to get their, like, 2-minute clips of each segment. So
that's probably the best way to watch this show. And then the other thing I wanted to get into, I don't want to go through the whole show. They did have a big return to their women's division. Awesome Kong back in TNA. And it makes me think, you know, what could have been for karma in the WWE? Because, I mean, my gosh, this woman, you know, she is an amazing sight. And, I mean, the one thing I will give TNA, and I've always given them credit for this over the years, they always give their women's division a ton of time, credit, storylines, and all of that. The unfortunate thing is, I'd like to see that done with the roster of women in the WWE that can wrestle, and I don't get that except on NXT. But in TNA, we get it. But there's just not enough, like, I'm sorry, there's 3 girls in that company that would even stand a chance in WWE. That's Gail Kim, that's Taryn Terrell, and now Awesome Kong, who's back. I don't like the new one, Havoc. I think she's just, there's something off about her. Like, you know when you get those, like, all women's promotions where you have just kind of the butchy female? That's what Havoc is to me.
Well, TNA is really banking on fans being interested in a Awesome Kong versus Havoc program, but I don't think Havoc really has much of a base to go on at this point. Awesome Kong, you know, obviously she had her little run in WWE, probably the most dominant female competitor we've seen maybe since China, who knows, but it's good to see her back in a ring. It looks like she has added a little bit more weight. Obviously she had a child, so that could have a lot to do with it, but I'm curious to see what TNA does with her. Hopefully they don't screw the pooch on this one.
Actually, she had slimmed down, so I was surprised that she looked so big. But anyway, it is what it is. So she was back. That was one of the big surprises. Kurt Angle was back wrestling, which is just sad. I mean, I'm sorry, Kurt Angle shouldn't be wrestling at this point in his career.
He recently did an interview where he said he's accomplished more in TNA than he has in WWE.
Yeah, that'll get you in that WWE Hall of Fame. Way to go, Kurt.
I'm sure his mood will change completely when he's down in NXT.
You mean like everyone else that leaves that company?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan now, who is like, oh God, those years when I was in TNA, I don't want to talk about them.
I had to make them build a ramp for me just so I could get to the damn ring.
Although he did put over Dixie Carter for paying him an exorbitant amount of salary while he was there on Chris Jericho's podcast this week. Hogan lied about so many things on that podcast. If you want to hear Hogan lie, go back and listen to Talk is Jericho, and Jericho, being the typical mark that he is, challenges none of it, because that's what Chris Jericho does. I am so sour on Chris Jericho. That is a total side note, but I am done with being a Jericho-holic. I'm so sick of him.
Why is that? Just because of the podcast?
I think it is, because a lot of the times when he does these interviews, I don't like his way of... He's just so non-confrontational, and then I don't like the fact that whenever he has someone on who's not a non-wrestling guest, that he goes, well, you have to trust me because I know what's good, and you should listen anyway, even if it isn't a wrestler. No, guess what, Chris Jericho, I don't have to listen, and I don't.
It's almost like he's under salary by WWE when he does these podcasts, because it's like if Todd Phillips or Renee Young were doing an interview, they're going to ask strictly WWE questions that don't get to the real core of what fans want to know, and which is fine. There's an audience for that, but when there's so many other podcasts out there, like Steve Austin's, for example, who asks the tough questions, you know, you steer towards that more.
But Steve can get away with that, and JR can't get WWE guests.
Yeah,
because of obvious reasons. Anyway, back to TNA. Sorry, we got in a little. You
don't have to apologize.
No, I know. This TNA. Is the longest TNA conversation we've ever had.
Oh,
anyway,
God.
We get to the end of the show, and they're doing this reality thing where cameras are everywhere now. Everywhere. And we see MVP bust in back into the Manhattan Center. I guess he left and came back. Anyway, he's got these thugs with him wearing, like, I don't know, were they like Ronald Reagan masks or something? It was weird. But
yeah.
Anyway, they break past security. We see this while the Bobby Lashley, Bobby Roode match is going on, which they built up the whole entire show. It's the third one. It's the big finale to this trilogy. And instantly I lost interest once MVP and those guys busted in the back, because I knew we were getting a run-in, and everything that was going on in the ring didn't matter until the run-in happened.
That's TNA for you. Every time they have one of these big shows, they always have to end with some crazy angle, and now it looks like we're going to get yet another faction that nobody cares about.
Yeah, Samoa Joe and Low Key have been added to MVP's faction, and Bobby Lashley clearly looks like he is disgruntled and wants out of this faction.
Well, Eric Young is there too now.
Oh yeah, Eric Young, yes. He also came in, which makes no sense. If there is one guy on TNA that needs to be a babyface all of the time, I will make the case I would sooner turn John Cena heel than I would turn Eric Young heel. It makes no sense.
Remember when he led that little international group, World Elite, how strong of a heel he was then? You'd think they would have learned something from that.
He's not a heel. He's a small guy with a beard. He gets over. He kind of reminds me of someone else with small with a beard, gets over. But the difference is, the small guy with the beard in the WWE that gets over, he can be a heel, and he's good at it. Eric Young isn't.
Well, at the tapings, he explained to the audience why he did what he did. So we'll talk about that. No, we won't.
We won't.
You don't think so?
No, we're done.
Okay.
I gave TNA their chance. They had their new thing. I'm done. It isn't any better.
You know what they're called? The new faction? Probably the worst name I've ever heard for a heel faction.
Oh, no, I don't. Hit me with this. We might as well end the TNA talk on a bang.
Well, abbreviated, it's called the BDC, the Beatdown Clan.
Wow.
That's like a seventh grader came up with that.
That's the same person who designed their new logo, apparently.
Who stole it from that video game from the late 90s, by the way, Siphon Filter.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, since we're not going to talk about it, spoiler alert if anyone really cares, Eric Young said that he attacked Bobby Roode because he was sick of watching Roode carry around the TNA title when Eric Young was a former champion. So, sure, the logic behind this whole thing...
So join a faction where you're not the focus to, you know, get your title back, right?
Yeah.
That always works out.
And then, double spoiler, Lashley is going to leave the group. He's going to turn face. I guess.
Was made fairly obvious on the show.
He had the look of just confusion because he had no idea what was going on, but they really put that into effect next week. So.
Anyway, whatever. TNA, you had your chance. This was your big shiny moment here on Condo on the Moon. We talked almost 15 minutes about TNA wrestling.
Well, do you want to know how many people tuned in to watch this thing? Me and James were, before the show, we were talking about the viewership for this.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes, how many people did find the destination that is America?
Well, I don't know the exact television rating, but I do know that 286,000 people watched that episode.
That's not good.
Not good.
That's not good at all. ROH, I mean, they have almost a better drawing power now than TNA. It's and also, too, the live attendance, not good at all. I saw before we came on here, they're hyping up trying to get people to buy tickets because they're taping Lockdown tonight in New York, which is one of the worst ever TNA pay-per-view concepts, where every match is in a six-sided steel cage.
Well, the attendance figures for the premiere were between 400 and 500 fans.
Yeah, and that's terrible. Like, they're in the small venue that WWE used to tape Raw in, and
yeah,
that holds somewhere between 800 to 1,000, I believe. And that is also, put this in perspective. When ROH used to go there, that's not where they go, Manhattan Center. They go to the ballroom, which is bigger.
Yeah.
And TNA can't even fill the Manhattan Center, which is a joke. So, I mean, that's the end of TNA, as far as I'm concerned. And the only other thing I'll say, the other stupid thing they did, bringing back that six-sided ring was the most idiotic, stupid thing that they have done. The one thing Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff got right when they took over that company was going back to a four-sided ring, because no one wants to see this six-sided ring thing. It's stupid. They're trying to be like the UFC, and they're not the UFC. Get over it.
It was cool back in the day when the company first originated because it was different and unique. But now that they're, what, a decade into this experiment, they have to go back to the basics. Four sides was right. Hogan, who gets a lot of grief for what he did at TNA, like you said, that was one of the best things he did, and they should have kept it. But apparently the fans voted for the six-sided ring, so maybe the fans are clueless.
Wait, so now you're believing fan voting in TNA? You don't think they can doctor their own voting just like WWE?
Well, this isn't the Slammy Awards.
So Roman Reigns is the superstar of the year in your world then, right?
Yeah, if the fans voted for it in, like, TNA, we'd probably get, like, Manic a superstar of the year, so.
Alrighty. Oh, and by the way, James Storm is, I don't know what the hell happened to that guy, but I don't like it.
Oh, with his revolution where he's getting all of these.
No, I do not like it. I do not like those green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam. I am. And that'll be enough for TNA. We almost got to the 20-minute mark. That is a record for this podcast.
My soul hurts now.
Yeah, it's done. We're back to our 60 seconds of TNA every
week.
Let's
be honest, is WWE really any better at this point?
Yeah, better than that.
Wow,
I mean, just at least WWE, can, draw people and, actually have a show. Anyway, enough of that. There was another show over the holidays that had everyone buzzing, and it was the New Japan show, Wrestle Kingdom 9, which had a number of ROH talents on it and Japanese talents, and was built as the WrestleMania of Japan, which I guess is what it is. I watched it. I'm not going to say that I hated the show. I thought it was good. But I don't seem to be as blown away as everyone else was. I thought, the one exception, the Nakamura match that he had with Oshida, that was brilliant. That match, if you're going to watch one match from this show, watch that match. That was brilliant. Other than that, I just I wasn't really into it. And the commentary, too, like JR and Matt Stryker, it took a long time for JR to start feeling like JR, and by the time he did, I kind of had lost interest. And Matt Stryker, everyone is praising Matt Stryker to the hilt, and yes, he knew that product up, down, and sideways, but at some point, Matt Stryker comes off as an annoying know-it-all. And it's just like, it's too much sometimes. He doesn't know when to say when as a commentator, I feel. He comes off like he did that teacher gimmick when he wrestled, and I think he still comes off as that obnoxious know-it-all personality when he's doing commentary, and I just don't like it.
Well, he knows his stuff. He's obviously done his research. He has a history watching the product. And compared to Jim Ross, if anyone was expecting these, like, Jim Ross euphemisms and these, you know, high-octane calls that he used to do in WWF, like the slobber knockers and, you know, when Stone Cold Steve Austin was wrestling, you're not going to get that at a pay-per-view like New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom 9, simply because, A, he doesn't know the product very well. And when you're in an arena of 40,000 people who aren't really making much noise because that's the way Japanese wrestling usually works, you know, it's going to dictate his energy, and it wasn't as high as you would have liked it to be. But I love the pay-per-view. I thought there wasn't really a lull at all. I mean, even the matches that no one really cared about were only kept to around 4 or 5 minutes, which worked. Even Dave Meltzer gave the Nakamura match 5 stars, which
it deserved. I mean, that was the standout match on that show.
But the main event was really good, too. I liked Okada versus Tanahashi. It wasn't as good as the Nakamura match, but it was a great main event, and the right guy went over because, I mean, I don't know how into the product everyone is, but that's a tie now between the two guys, and it's going to lead to another match down the road for the title, I would assume. So based on if those two matches don't win you over, I don't know what else will. I can't think of two matches back-to-back in 2014 that can top those two.
I mean, that was a good match, but I think I expected more because I hear so much about Tanahashi that he is just the second coming, and I'm still waiting to see it. Like, I watched him wrestle Mike Bennett. I thought they had a good match. It wasn't a great match way back when ROH and them got together. I get it. The guy's good. I'm not saying he's not. But I'm not blown away. To me, he's not even close to the best wrestler in the world, which is what a lot of people refer to him as, and I just don't see it. Okada, I do like. I think he definitely has upside and definitely has room to grow. And, you know, and then, of course, you had Kenny Omega, who's a Canadian who was over there, and he won the junior strap in a match as well with the Young Bucks out there. And that was the other thing. JR hates the Young Bucks.
You got that vibe?
Oh, yeah.
Why is that?
Because I just got the impression that JR does not like the Young Bucks, and that means I'm not with JR because I love the Young Bucks.
Yeah, you're the big Young Bucks mark. And
the Young Bucks didn't win either. Their match actually, I mean, it was good and they had all their spots and all that, but I felt it was very rushed, and I was also surprised and almost shocked that Red Dragon won.
Yeah, I thought it would have gone to a team like, I actually favored the Time Splitters to win because they do compete regularly for the company and you don't have to worry about the integration, you know, always having to go back to Ring of Honor. But, yeah, the match kind of started off pretty slow. It picked up near the end. It wasn't the best, you know, Young Bucks, Red Dragon match. The one that you've talked about in the past at the World of the Worlds show for ROH?
Yeah, the one in New York at the bigger place where TNA can't fill.
Yeah, I think when those two just went, you know, mano-a-mano in a tag team match, I think that was a lot better than what we got. But for an opener, I really dug it. I really like the entrances, too, for a majority of the guys. I don't know if you noticed, but the ring announcer, whoever he or she is, I couldn't really tell with the voice. They were singing all of the wrestlers' names when they came down. I thought that was super cool.
Wow.
Plus all of the effects, the big screen, the music. I was a big fan.
It is over the top. Like, New Japan, when it comes to their presentation and entrances, it's the most over-the-top thing you'll see. Like, even, I would even venture to say more than WWE at this point.
Oh, totally.
Like it's just, they make it seem like a huge deal when every person comes out to be brought to the ring. And, you know, I mean, ultimately the numbers are going to decide what a success this was. But I just got the feeling that the people that live in the wrestling bubble really wanted to like this show a lot more. Like, they want it to succeed, and it's not to say it was a bad show. I don't think it was, but I don't know if that show, if you show that to a fan who's kind of lapsed on wrestling or, you know, isn't into the whole wrestling scene, I don't know if they're as blown away by it by people that are in the wrestling bubble. I really don't.
see from the reactions that I've been reading, I thought everyone was a huge supporter and fan of what transpired. It was super long, too. It was 4 hours, and maybe, you know, interest kind of died down by the end, but the Nakamura match should have woken everybody up. I mean, his entrance alone was worth watching that pay-per-view. I thought it was
awesome. Like, you know what I was thinking during that entrance? That guy needs to be in WWE. They would never get him right.
They would never get him right,
and they would screw it up. But I'm like, oh, he'd be so good. And yeah. I mean, he was a guy that worked with Kevin Steen at that same show we were talking about, the Young Bucks and Red Dragon. And I was blown away by that match. And if people recall who have been longtime listeners of the podcast, when we had Court Bauer on, Court Bauer raved about that match with Kevin Steen and Nakamura. And I just think he's incredibly talented, and I think he's Americanized enough that he would work over here. Like, I was watching Hideo Itami on NXT. We're kind of jumping around.
Yeah.
But I'm not feeling him at all. He just doesn't seem to blend into the American style and the WWE style. It just, like, he's hardly getting any offense, and he's winning. And I find that a general problem in the WWE right now, but especially with him having the reputation that he's supposed to have, and he's getting like 10% of the offense in a match and winning, I don't think that's a winning equation.
I don't know. He almost kind of reminds me of the way Daniel Bryan started too. I think it's going to take a little bit more time with Itami simply because he is coming over from Japan. He does have that strong accent. He's never been much of a talker to begin with, and that's kind of why his alliance right now with Finn Balor is working, because the two of them together, you can kind of get away with Itami not talking or not getting in much offense because you always have Balor there with him. It's going to get a lot more difficult when those two inevitably split, but for the time being, he's fine. Moving forward, you're right, there is reason to worry.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into NXT more deeply later on, but that just fit in with what we're talking about. Bottom line for Wrestle Kingdom, if you are in that wrestling bubble and you like this show, there was lots to like, and I think it was a good show. I just wasn't over the top raving like people were. Like, people were raving about everything. They were raving about how good JR was. I disagree. They were raving about how good Matt Stryker was. I disagree. They were raving about the entire card. I kind of disagree. There were matches I liked, but there were also matches that, like the opener, for example, I had much higher expectations for that match, and it didn't reach those expectations. And, you know, but it was a good show. I don't want people to think I'm hating on it and just trying to be different and hating on New Japan, because I think it was a good show, and I think it's a good start for them. The big thing will be, though, at the end of the day, what were the numbers, and will these people come back? Because the danger in putting on the show that they did first is they led with their strongest punch. So now the second show, whatever that is going to be, if there is one, can it ever live up to what this show was? Because people who are total nerds in the New Japan said this was a card that was unbelievable for this promotion. Like, they would be hard-pressed to ever top the card that they had put together. So that makes me think, well, how do they come back?
Well, I mean, we're obviously going to continue to differ here. I thought the card was fantastic. With the exception of maybe WrestleMania 30, I think it was better than anything WWE did last year. It opened up a lot of eyes in terms of some of the New Japan guys that North Americans don't get to see a lot. And for the hardcore wrestling fans who have followed Ring of Honor and even TNA to an extent, you did get some of the names. Oh, and even WWE, like Shelton Benjamin was on the card, Davey Boy Smith, Lance Archer were in that 8-man tag team match, and Jeff Jarrett was there with the Bullet Club. So,
let's not talk about Jeff Jarrett, because if there was one thing that people seemed to universally agree on, that match sucked.
But the Bullet Club pretty much dominated that entire card, because they were almost in every other match. They're maybe the biggest faction in professional wrestling right now. So, and I'm glad that they got the exposure that they did with that pay-per-view.
Oh, and so am I, because like there are guys that I love. I love Carl Anderson, and I love Luke Gallows, and I love their podcast, Talking Shop. It's the greatest funny 30 minutes of your life if you want to go check it out on MLW. It's just hilarious. And for those guys, I wanted to like this show a lot, but I didn't feel that I was as blown away with it as everyone else was. And I looked at it, you know, okay, people in the wrestling bubble liked it, but did anyone outside of the wrestling bubble like it? And well, I don't think that it got to that point. And that's ultimately where you've got to get to draw numbers. Even the WWE is struggling with that right now.
Well, we'll see the numbers soon enough then, and we'll make our call from there. And hopefully we do get more pay-per-views in the future with English commentary.
Yeah, a lot of the predictions are coming in. I've heard everywhere from 8,000 to 12,000. Which, if they did that, that would be considered a success. But then again, you know, we're talking about how great a show this was and all of this and blah, blah, blah. WWE, if they got a number like that when they were doing pay-per-view, they would blow their brains out.
Well, it was filmed earlier. Like, it was a replay. It wasn't live.
And no, it was shown live. You could get it live.
Yeah, but not when they aired it on Sunday night.
No. But you could get the show live at 2 a.m. That's the other issue. Like, wrestling nerd fans will stay up at 2 a.m. till 6 a.m. Regular people will not do that. And in the internet world that we live, avoiding spoilers and stuff like that would be awfully hard. So,
well,
I don't know.
There was an app that you could get where you could watch the show live, but apparently it didn't work. So.
They crashed it. That was the good sign. That's why people are so ecstatic about what the numbers could be, because that app apparently would hold 2,000 people, and they crashed it.
Well, yeah, good sign.
Yeah. I mean, like business-wise, I think they did all right, but if you're thinking that New Japan is taking over the world, I think you're jumping the shark a little bit.
Hopefully next time Jim Ross can pronounce Nakamura's name right.
Does Jim Ross even come back? That would be the other thing I would worry about if I'm New Japan, because Jim Ross really treated this like a one-off and a payday.
Yeah.
So,
which is fine. He's entitled to that.
Yeah, but then if you're New Japan, how do you come back? Like, you've got Matt Stryker. Obviously, you could shift Matt Stryker over to do play-by-play. I think that would make sense. And then you have to bring in another color guy.
Well, this was the biggest show of the year, so it's easy to kind of...
Yeah, you could, like maybe the Jim Ross WrestleMania run-in type thing with New Japan every year.
Yeah.
As long as Oklahoma doesn't make it to the national championship, then all bets are off. Anyway, it was a good show. I mean, I don't discourage you from going to check it out, but at the same time, I just thought, you know, everyone's been raving about this show like it was the second coming, and I didn't see it as that. I saw it as a show that had a really exceptional wrestling match and perhaps the best wrestling match we'll see all year with Nakamura, and it had some other matches that were good.
Yeah. If there's one match you see from this card, check out Nakamura versus Ibushi for the Intercontinental title. 5 stars for a reason.
Absolutely. 5 stars for Nakamura's entrance. Forget about any moves, anything. That entrance was out of this world, and... I just, you know, like I said, I have this conundrum because I'm like, damn, I'd like to see that guy on a bigger stage with WWE, but damn, I know they'd screw him up.
Well, hopefully we see him when he comes to do the IWGP ROH shows in Toronto.
Oh, he'll definitely be there, and he'll be outside chain smoking, apparently, because that's what he does.
Hey, it's all good, man. He's cool like that.
he is, but apparently he is a chain smoker.
Well, his cardio is an issue.
Yeah, I know. Like, how is he doing this? I got to know. I smoke, and I don't have cardio like that. I don't know what's going on.
You can't do his little Matrix move on the ropes where he just, like, curls his back and man.
I can't do anything he does. I don't think.
The King of Hard Style. That's a cool nickname.
Not without hurting myself, yeah. He is something else. I mean, I knew nothing about him when he took on Kevin Steen, and I was instantly drawn to him. And that's the thing, I don't mean to be racist, or I'm not trying to be racist in what I'm about to say, but it takes a lot for a Japanese wrestler to catch my attention. And for whatever reason, he does. Other guys don't. I mean, they look kind of generic to me, like one to the other, I couldn't tell you the difference. But with him, instantly you know the difference.
Well, okay, there you go. He stands out from the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, it's just his face. Like, a lot of times, like, I guess what I'm trying to get at, and this has been one of the things that they've been trying to change in New Japan, a lot of the selling isn't there like in traditional North American wrestling. And Nakamura sells like nobody's business, and he's good at it. He's good at selling when he's on top. He's good at selling when he's not. He really draws you in with his facial expressions and his actions and his movement. I think he's tremendous.
And credit goes, of course, to Ibushi, because it takes two guys to have a really good match, and he's going to be a huge star for that company in another couple of years. Put on some weight to become a heavyweight, move up from junior heavyweight. He's going to be fighting for that heavyweight title soon enough.
He could be, and I'll depress everyone with my dream WWE match for Nakamura. You want to hear it?
Kevin Owens?
No. We've already seen that. This one we haven't seen.
Sure. Is he a big star?
He should be. We think he is, but I don't know if he's been booked like that lately.
Who? It's not Cesaro.
No. Dean Ambrose.
Ambrose versus Nakamura?
That would be unbelievable, because I think Dean Ambrose is the best seller in the WWE when it comes to facial expressions and just action and movement. And Nakamura is the same thing. I think you put those two guys in a match, it would be like off the chain, absolutely crazy insanity.
Isn't showing up in the win column, though, these days.
No, Dean would lose, obviously. But maybe not. Maybe because, you know, Vince doesn't tend to put over the Japanese guys very often, so maybe that's how Dean gets a win, bringing Nakamura.
Well, just like this past Monday night on Raw, right, he fell again to Bray Wyatt, who WWE obviously wants to make look super powerful in case a certain dead man wants to compete at WrestleMania.
But if he doesn't, what then? What becomes of this Bray Wyatt push?
Oh, obviously he wins the Royal Rumble and gets Brock Lesnar.
Really?
No.
No one wants to see that.
Wyatt versus Lesnar in the main event. I'd take that over Reigns at this point.
No one wants to see that.
No. All right. Well, no, I tried.
I just don't think anyone wants to see that.
Just like the ending of Monday Night Raw.
Nobody wants to see
that.
Yeah, Dolph Ziggler. When's he going to New Japan? Because obviously they could use him.
Yeah, he's fired now, right? I mean, he has the leeway, too.
Yeah, maybe he's going to go to ROH and fight El Patron.
Yeah, Ziggler versus Patron. What would they even call him in ROH? Like Nikki Ziggler or something?
No, he couldn't use Ziggler.
Ziggs.
No, probably just go back to his real name, Nick Namath, or Nemeth.
Yeah, that'll get him over.
No, you could do it. I mean, it would be fine. His brother wrestles on the indies, I think, still. Or is he doing comedy now? I can't remember.
Who knows?
But when he wrestled on the indies, he used his real name. It was fine.
Well, he could team up with Big Red Rowan and just form a heel faction.
No, I don't think Rowan's going to do well on the indies. I think he might be in trouble.
We're such saps for this.
And then who else is going to the indies? Ryan. Oh, yeah, Ryback. Ryback will bring him in on the indies, boy. But here's the problem. Ryback will... He'll charge himself out of the indies because he'll want too much money.
Ryan back, I get that, maybe.
Oh no! He'd just have to go back to Skip Sheffield.
Skip. Oh God.
Oh yeah, actually we haven't talked about that the week before. What the hell was up with that Ryback promo?
I liked it. You didn't enjoy it?
I hated it. I thought it was horrible.
Oh come on, you're harsh.
No, I thought it was horrible. I thought it was like they left this man out here to die.
No, the person they left out there to die was Cesaro, and he cut his promo saying there were four ropes.
Well, yeah, he screwed up, but that's neither here nor there. But I just thought Ryback's promo was just brutal, and it was long. At least Cesaro's was short.
No, I really liked Ryback. I'm really anti-Ryback. I can't stand the guy, but I will give the man credit. He pulled off a hell of a promo because it came off as completely genuine. It was heartfelt. He talked about his road to getting back to WWE. He even mentioned the fact that he was Skip Sheffield doing the Nexus angle and all of the injuries he suffered. So if that was WWE's way to get him more over with the fans, it worked then. But, you know, last week, that disaster of a show.
I think it was WWE's response to CM Punk saying that he's stupid as F. That's what I think it was.
No, well, F4W Online reported that they wanted fans to care about a potential Rusev versus Ryback program, and by that point, no one really gave to you-know-what, so by giving kind of that human angle to Ryback, maybe they will now, but
no one
he's fired. So.
No, you know what? No one cares about a Rusev feud. Why? Because everyone knows where the Rusev feud ends.
With John Cena at WrestleMania.
Exactly. And so no one cares because of that. Like, when you know the end of the story, and there's, like, little stepping stones along the way that a guy's supposed to beat, no one cares about the stepping stones. Just get me to the main program, please.
Exactly. Never give up versus never been pinned, right?
Yeah.
That's the big thing there.
Yeah, like how awesome would it be for Rusev, not to say that this will happen, but if Rusev made John Cena tap out in that Acolyte, what an awesome push that would be for Rusev.
Nah, he won't tap out. He'll just do the whole passing out thing like they did with Swagger.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, in a perfect world, if you know, you're not trying to protect John Cena, because Lord knows that's what we do in the WWE. But in a perfect world where you might actually want to create some new stars, that would be the finish, and it would blow people away.
WWE would be wise to have Rusev come away with a win at WrestleMania. Everyone and their mother thinks he's going to lose and the streak is going to come an end to an end there. No, I would love to see it go on for another couple of months. Maybe
actually,
the SummerSlam.
You're going to create a new champion at WrestleMania because Brock Lesnar's not coming back. And
right.
Assuming he makes it there to WrestleMania with the title, which is up in some debate now, especially with our title match being changed now to a three-way with Seth Rollins and now in your main event for Royal Rumble. We'll get into that a little later. But assuming Brock makes it there to WrestleMania, we're getting a new champion. Will it be Roman Reigns? Will it be Daniel Bryan? I don't know. But you're going to have a babyface champion. First challenger, Rusev. It's a money match.
Oh, well, he needs to drop the United States title first, which you need to do before WrestleMania because you're not going to do Rusev versus Cena for the United States title.
Yeah, you probably can't do that, but how do you get it off him? That
you know, you put him in a triple threat match and you have him not be pinned.
That's the thing. I don't know. I don't know what you'd do with that. But yeah, that's probably a logical way to do it.
I don't know who you'd put it on.
Or here would be a crazy thought. What if Rusev just trashed the U.S. title and said he doesn't want it anymore?
No, he would have done that by now.
No, because that you make that as part of your angle with Johnny Boy. He destroys and desecrates the U.S. title, which John Cena once held and had the little spinner. Yeah.
By the time we get to WrestleMania, he'll have held it for how long?
Not as long as Dean Ambrose, who never defended it.
Yeah, it was literally holding up its pants at that point. That's all.
It was Dean Ambrose's belt buckle, let's be honest. But anyway, so I don't know. We will see. But the big news in WWE, we are getting a shakeup in commentary. Jerry the King Lawler out on Raw, and he's now been shipped over to SmackDown. Good news. Still going to be on the pay-per-views. Bad news. And Tom Phillips gets the shaft on SmackDown, which I think is bad news too.
Yeah, I don't get that. I really like Phillips' commentary, but
Tom Phillips was doomed in the spot they had him in on SmackDown, though. Because
no,
with
true.
Cole and with JBL, they never let the poor guy get a word in edgewise. He's very good, though.
Yeah, you're right. Is Lawler's move more of a creative shakeup, or is that because of his health? Because I know he's had some health issues recently.
Well, apparently, the WWE, according to Dave Meltzer, this is from Wrestling Observer, the word on the street is that WWE has wanted to do this for a long time, but because of Jerry's heart attack, they felt they couldn't do it, and now that he had the second health problem, they felt that there was a window here to make a change.
Oh, so Booker T is that upgrade?
For now, I guess.
He was awful. Like, literally the worst thing I've ever heard. And that's saying something, because JBL was sitting two seats next to him.
I think he was very nervous, Booker T. He didn't seem to know like where he fit in with everything, and it seemed very obvious from.
He must have known then that, oh my God, like this is a permanent thing. Like I better.
Yeah, I think they were all aware at the time, even though it wasn't announced, that this was the crew going forward. So it's very interesting. It'll be very interesting how they play this out on television, because Cole kind of wished Lawler, you know, speedy recovery and all this, and now he's not going to come back to Raw, which will be weird. But actually, I think how they placate this is they're actually building up a SmackDown that people might actually want to watch when they turn over to Thursdays. The debut of Daniel Bryan in the ring, first time in over a year that we have seen Daniel Bryan competing in a wrestling ring. Not quite a year, but...
Yeah, what's up with that? Why are they putting it on SmackDown? I know they're going for huge ratings now that it's on a new night. But
they
Daniel
just
want
to get people to instantly click into the new night.
Is that live, by the way?
The
first one's live, probably,
first
right?
one? I don't know. Probably not. I would think not.
If it's not live and Daniel Bryan is wrestling, the ratings will be good.
Yeah, I mean... You know, I think it's a great hook. I mean, there's no question about that. Daniel Bryan's first match on SmackDown? Yeah, sign me up. And it'll prove what a ratings draw that Bryan is, I think, because obviously John won't be on that show, and Daniel will, and I think it'll be a huge thing for him one way or the other.
Yeah.
I think... In all honesty, and this may sound crazy to people, I think the number for that show could go a long way to what his future will actually be in terms of the booking going forward.
Well, there's so many reports coming out now that WWE might be willing to change course and not have Roman Reigns face off against Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, which could have something to do with the fact that Seth Rollins is now in that match for the title at the Royal Rumble. Maybe Brock Lesnar doesn't go to WrestleMania as champion. Maybe they just take the belt off of him there. Because we don't know, frankly, what his future is like right now. If he's going to stick around, which could still happen. I mean, the UFC thing hasn't
Brock?
Been
confirmed yet. Oh, Brock's gone.
If they pay him a hefty fee, he could stay.
No, Brock's gone. You because so? Even if the UFC doesn't get in the ballgame, Bellator is going to offer him the moon, the stars, and everything else.
And WWE can't do that?
No, because they don't have the same model. Like they've changed their model of how things work. I mean, they don't have the WWE Network subscriptions to support paying Brock. He hasn't moved the number. I mean, Bellator is still in the pay-per-view business. You know that business that the WWE said was dying?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bellator, they're going all in for Brock Lesnar. And the fight will be not between the WWE and Bellator, it'll be between the UFC and Bellator, because UFC is claiming that if Brock leaves WWE, he still owes them fights. So that will be a contentious issue in and of itself. But Brock Lesnar, I think, is done with the WWE come WrestleMania. And I've thought that for a long while. When Paul Heyman started making hints that Brock thought he could beat people in the UFC, that was a good indication to me that Brock was going back to the UFC.
Well, no, regardless of whatever rating this episode of SmackDown gets with Daniel Bryan returning to the ring, I still believe firmly that he needs to be the one fighting Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, if only because I think his story is going to catch the eye of a lot of people. This is a guy who never lost the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. You know, he had that serious neck injury, had the title stripped for him. He had the passing of his father. So now that he's back in the ring and you put him in the Royal Rumble with another guy like Roman Reigns in the front of a crowd that can get pretty ruthless in Philadelphia, and we all remember last year when the crowd completely buried Rey Mysterio because he wasn't Daniel Bryan.
Well, it was in Pittsburgh last year, but
we know the crowd last year.
Yeah.
It's the same state, but whatever.
But
I feel like if Daniel Bryan's in that Royal Rumble, the fans are going to be so behind him that Roman Reigns is probably going to get the Batista treatment. Maybe not as harsh as Batista did, but I think Daniel Bryan is the WWE Universe's guy. They want him to be in that spot. He doesn't have the year-long build like he did last year when he had to continuously fend off the Authority, but I think that's the right move for business, although you know, WWE is looking for that next big star, and Roman Reigns appears to be their choice.
Yeah, I think, you know what I actually think? What do you think of this? Because I think they are going to go with Roman Reigns. I really do. Because I don't know if they can trust Daniel Bryan's health right now. Like, I don't trust his health right now. Because if you listen very closely to the promo he cut, saying he was back in the Royal Rumble, he never mentioned anything about doctors clearing him or anything like that. It seems like
he waited, though.
No, it seems like he's taking a gamble here, that he's got sick and tired of doctors not knowing what's wrong with him, and he feels healthy enough that he thinks he can do this, and he's going to do it. And the company is supporting him in this because, quite frankly, they need him. And I worry for Daniel Bryan's long-term health. I don't think this is a good idea at all.
No, I don't believe for a second that doctors haven't cleared him to compete. If WWE even had the slightest inkling that this might affect the rest of his career, because he still is a money guy for them and one of their biggest stars, they wouldn't have him return at the Royal Rumble. They would possibly hold off his return for another couple of months and then have him lead into a match at WrestleMania and maybe even hold him off for the big show entirely. This guy still has some star power. He's a long-term investment that they need to keep safe. But of course, neck injuries are always a concern. It cut the career short of Edge, who Daniel Bryan talked about during his promo, saying he asked him for advice and whatnot. So I really do think that Daniel Bryan is healthy, but we'll probably get more of an indication as to what he can and cannot do when he actually has a match. He's not going to be doing any more diving headbutts or suicide dives through the ropes. I think he's smart enough to know.
Oh, is he? I don't know if he is, because I heard an interview where he said he doesn't feel that anything from his style needs to change.
Well, no diving headbutts. Maybe he'll do a dive through the ropes here and there. But
I don't know, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know. And you're painting the picture of this nice, happy WWE that cares about its superstars. Didn't CM Punk teach us that WWE is kind of a fallacy?
They have their favorites.
And, like, wasn't Daniel Bryan the guy they didn't want anyway?
And then look what happened at WrestleMania 30, one of the most memorable finishes maybe ever.
No, but what I'm saying is, when you if you take the opposite side of this, they never made Daniel Bryan. WWE has a real problem when they don't make a star. They always have. They always will. So maybe, you know, because it's Daniel Bryan, oh, yeah, we'll take the risk. Whatever.
Yeah.
Roll the dice. We need him. Things are going bad. If he wants to go, we're going to let him go.
Well, that's why I'm so excited to see the kind of reaction he gets at the Royal Rumble if it... Not to the sense that, like, because he's obviously going to get a positive reaction no matter what, but I want to see what that positive reaction does for a guy like Roman Reigns, because, okay, when we get to, like, WWE Fastlane or whatnot, and the card for WrestleMania starts to shape up and people are realizing, yeah, it's going to be Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, does the reaction of fans start to push Daniel Bryan towards the main event again, and we get, like, another triple threat scenario because WWE has its hands tied? Like, fans want Daniel Bryan.
That's what I was getting to, actually, and we got sidetracked into Daniel Bryan's health. What if Seth Rollins is going to be in that world title match before all this happens? And what if Seth Rollins doesn't win, and then he tried to cash in his Money in the Bank, and Daniel Bryan screws him, and he doesn't win? What if Seth Rollins comes out in the Royal Rumble and screws Daniel Bryan, and that's his WrestleMania program?
No one will complain.
Yeah, I think that's your solution if you want Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
I think that's a way to get out of it. Now, that sounds really smart and really intelligent, and obviously probably something that WWE won't do, because my track record on the show, it speaks to that. But
yeah, but the problem is Randy Orton. Like, with the build that feud has had, you would almost have to do Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania.
Yeah, or could you make it a three-way? Because obviously Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton have a long history that don't like each other.
No, this is an Orton and Rollins issue. I do think they're going to have a match at WrestleMania. I've even heard, you know, rumblings about maybe we get Rusev versus Daniel Bryan, and you get another program for John Cena. Maybe you have him with a heel Dean Ambrose.
Ah, just put him with Randy Orton again. Why not?
Yeah, do Cena versus Orton again.
Yeah, because we haven't seen that match in, what, 6 months?
But isn't it fun? Like, we're so close to WrestleMania, and, you know, even the Roman Reigns thing is up in the air. We really don't know anything about what this card is going to look like. We don't even know if Sting's going to compete yet.
Oh, we do. That Sting and Triple H is in stone.
Do you think so?
Yeah. That's the All one right. thing that's in stone.
I'm not 100%, but I'm in, like, the top percentile, sure. But.
Based on what Sting has said, based on my belief that The Undertaker isn't coming, and even if he does come, it seems pretty clear that WWE wants him to work with Bray Wyatt. It's Sting and Hunter all the way.
Okay.
And I mean, Sting has said as much.
Yeah.
Like he said, if he can't have The Undertaker, he wants someone of his own ilk and age, and there's not too many people that fit that bill. The only one that comes to mind is Triple H. I mean, you could bring in a Jericho versus Sting, but why? You'd have to turn Jericho heel for no reason and all of that stuff. I mean, Triple H and Sting, even though I don't like it and I don't think it makes a lot of sense, based on everything that's been said, that to me is the one match that you can set in stone for your WrestleMania card. It's not going anywhere.
Well, that will help Roman Reigns' cause, because the more I think about it, an actual wrestling match between Lesnar and Roman Reigns screams Lesnar versus Bill Goldberg at WrestleMania 20, which was a disaster.
I don't know what it will be, but the thing is, I wrote about this week, and everyone gets on Roman, and yeah, he hasn't been the greatest. I understand that, but look at what they've given him. Like, since he's come back, they've given him a program with the Big Show, for God's sakes, and the promos they're giving him. No one on earth could have got over that Superman garbage he was handed. There is no one in this company that could have got that promo over.
Yeah, though, like, faster than a speeding bullet, can leap over tall buildings in a single bound. Like, it was crap. But, you know, we've seen WWE superstars in the past take nothing and turn it into something, which, you know, you can look at Damian Mizdow, for example. His charisma got him over completely. And Roman Reigns is a charismatic guy. So he kind of has to take the bull by the horns here and really establish himself, even if he's given garbage in terms of what he has to say in front of the camera.
Yeah, but they can't make him this comic book superhero. I mean, when a WWE fan thinks of a comic book superhero, who comes to mind? The Hurricane.
Yeah.
Are you going to tell me the Hurricane is going to come off as a friggin' world championship contender? Hell no.
The only way, and we've brought this up a couple of times between each other, the only way you can get through WrestleMania with Roman Reigns in, like, a main event spot without, you know, it turning out to be just useless is you do the Shield triple threat match and you put it with Rollins and Ambrose. But then again, you'd have to put the title on the line there, and then the Royal Rumble would be a good spot to maybe put it on Rollins. But Lesnar versus Roman Reigns one-on-one, while it looks great on paper, like, I just have no confidence in that match being anything important.
And how can Dean get there when Dean's been booked so weak?
Oh, my God. No one has been booked as weak as Dean Ambrose in recent memory. Like, the guy hasn't won a pay-per-view match
in a year?
Struggling. It could be a year, maybe even over that. Like, he never
wins.
Never wins.
And he wins in dating, though. He's dating Renee Young.
Do you think Ambrose's losing streak has anything to do with kind of WWE trying to avoid another Daniel Bryan situation?
Oh, like, I thought you were going to say because he was dating Renee Young.
No, well, we all love Renee Young, by the way. But
I'm not a huge fan, but anyway.
Because during the summer, he was gaining a lot of, you know, support from the fans, and you almost kind of got the sense that he was turning, with Daniel Bryan out especially, like, he was turning into their new Daniel Bryan, like the guy.
But that was by accident. Because if Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose. Because if Roman Reigns hadn't got hurt, he's not in that spot.
But you play with the cards that you're dealt, though, and Dean Ambrose was put into that spot. And
yeah, but the WWE always feels that, yeah, well, you know, now Roman's back, so you can go back in the pile.
All right, well.
Have you not learned with Dolph Ziggler title reigns how easily this can be done?
God, another guy right there who I have no idea what he's doing at WrestleMania.
Well, he's not going to be at WrestleMania. He might be on the ROH show on March 1st in Las Vegas.
Oh, let's cut the crap. He'll be back on Raw this week.
This week?
You
so they're not even giving this a week.
You think they're going to go an entire Raw without three of the top, like, seven baby faces in the company on the show?
I don't know. But so you say we don't even get past Monday with these guys fired.
They're all going to be there.
They're all going to be there.
I believe me, they're going to be there.
Okay, well, let's play this out. How does John Cena save their jobs?
I don't think John Cena is going to save their jobs at all. I think we're going to see a certain chairman have to stick his nose into the business here.
What, you think Vince is going to? Why?
I think we're going to start building up the program of, you know, the conflict of interest and the power behind the scenes leading up to the WrestleMania match with Triple H and Sting. Who, by the way, Triple H has been saying Sting's a name a lot on television.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, painted face geek.
Exactly.
That's so right.
It's going to be, I really do think it's going to be Vince who brings these guys back.
I don't know.
They won't save the ending to Raw from this past week, which was just, I mean, Mick Foley defended it. I couldn't believe it. Too many chair shots to the head. Like, he actually thought that was fun.
It was? Okay.
He came on, he's like, oh, it wasn't that bad, guys. Like, give him a break. I'm like,
I will preface this by saying I heard Mick Foley recently comment about how he's trying to mend fences with the WWE. I'll just say
Mick.
That. And take that for what you will. But, yeah, no, it's been tough times with the WWE product right now. It's a mess. Like, I mean, you talk about being... I don't know if you meant that this is fun, that there's nothing decided or not, but I think that's a problem when there's nothing decided.
But it gets our interest going, because, like, last year, we knew Daniel Bryan was going to be put in the main event.
Yeah, but look how successful that WrestleMania was. Because we knew. And they also made it where it was the fans that made it happen. Whether you believe that or not, whatever. But that's how it came off. It was the fans' guy getting into the main event. I don't think we have that now. I don't think we're getting that. I don't blame the WWE if they don't want to put Daniel Bryan in the main event of WrestleMania. Because I don't trust his health right now. There's not enough time for me to feel confident in Daniel Bryan staying healthy.
Yeah, I mean, the only other fan favorite that you could even give that rub to would be Dolph Ziggler, but
that's not happening.
They're not doing that at all.
Like, and no offense to Dolph, I'm sorry, I don't buy him in that spot.
Really?
I really don't. And I'll tell you another person who I have a hard time buying in that spot: Seth Rollins. I think he's great and all that, but I don't think Seth Rollins is ready for the main event of WrestleMania to carry on his own.
Well, not now, but that's not going to happen, though.
No, but potentially that's a scenario that's in play with this three-way match with John Cena, Seth Rollins,
Brock Lesnar. He's gotten so good, though. Like, man, like his, not from last week, but his interaction with John Cena when Rollins had Edge's head down, and he's like, I'm going to kill him anyway. I'm like, dude, that's what I want to see.
Here's the thing. And this is the biggest problem for Seth. The thing that he was fighting to get back is the thing that holds him back.
The authority?
Absolutely, because he looks like Triple H and Stephanie's little boy. And that isn't a good look for him. The best work he did was when they were gone. Would you not agree with that?
Yes, because he had more of a chance to talk.
And now that he's back with them, he doesn't.
All he really did was jump around after Triple H said he was going to be in the triple threat.
That's right. And, hey, he's not the only guy that this has happened to. And someone with a lot more experience in much bigger shoes, Randy Orton, got just eaten up by that authority angle.
And now they're turning into this, well, the vigilante role is taken by Sting right now, but he's the rebel. He's going to come back at the Royal Rumble probably as a surprise entrant, and we are going to get Orton versus Rollins at WrestleMania, so I'm looking forward to that.
I don't know what we're going to end up getting, to be honest with you. it'll be interesting. I mean, I think the interest of what all is going to come out of this Royal Rumble is very high right now, because not only just who wins the Rumble, which I think is a very small list. I think it's two people. Like, I think it's Brian or it's Reigns.
Yeah, it's Brian or Reigns, yeah.
I think it's that simple. But, generally speaking, the Rumble usually builds a lot of other angles for WrestleMania. And those intrigue me, too, because obviously we got to get some people some matches. And the easiest and cheapest way, and it's the great thing about the Royal Rumble, is it's so easy to create a feud by saying, you screwed me out of my chance to be in the main event of WrestleMania.
That's how they got away with Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 21, one of my favorite matches ever.
Yeah, like, I mean, you can easily sell that. I mean, it's reality and wrestling coming together in its purest form. And, I mean, I think that's ultimately what happens to Daniel Bryan. Someone screws him, and that's his program. Whoever that person is. Let's God hope it's not Sheamus. Because Sheamus is supposed to be coming back as a heel.
Yeah.
I'll just point that out to people and scare the hell out of you. Because if you remember, before everything went rosy for young Daniel Bryan last year, who was supposed to be his WrestleMania opponent?
The Celtic Warrior.
Could you imagine how badly fans would hate that?
You know what? I saw a crazy report early in the day yesterday. People are kind of contemplating that Daniel Bryan might get Kane's retirement match at WrestleMania and a Buried Alive match, something that they tried to do, you know, after their Extreme Rules match.
Okay, you just one-upped me. That was very good. Kane or
Daniel
Sheamus.
Bryan. Kane, you thought Sheamus was bad. God help us if it's Kane versus Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan, don't come back. This isn't worth it. Seriously, go back out.
But in fairness, that's what we were going to get. Daniel Bryan versus Kane in the Buried Alive match. It was going to write off Kane so he could go do his movie, and then hopefully he wasn't going to come back with his damn slacks and without his damn mask. But
can't we just have Kane and Big Show in a retirement match?
Oh my God.
And have it end in a draw?
No,
can that happen?
I'd rather see Daniel versus Kane. Now, come on, James. We need closure from their feud.
No, we don't.
It was Kane who injured him, right?
Who cares?
Oh, God.
No, it was him being a crazy idiot doing all kinds of moves he shouldn't be doing. And apparently is still going to do. That's what worries me.
Well, I took your Sheamus and I went up to you with
you did. That's like going to the next level. I mean, it really is. Your poor Swiss compatriot, Cesaro, he has been relegated in a fun way, but relegated to being in a tag team with Tyson Kidd.
Dressing up as Rosebuds.
Yeah. Although, I love their shirts. If people didn't catch their interview that they did backstage, like in the, what do they call that, Fallout?
Yeah.
That's on the internet? Mm-hmm. Their shirts were outstanding.
What did they say?
They're like, you know how they've had those like boxing shirts that have been popular with like Iron Mike Tyson and all that?
Yeah.
And they put where they're from? Tyson Kidd has his own one, and it says, Fact Finder or Fact Teller, Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and something else. And Cesaro's is, I forget what Cesaro says, but they're great shirts. If they're selling them on WWE, they'll make a ton of money.
They need a new name, though. They're called the Masters of the WWE Universe.
Like, I kind of like that, actually.
Really?
It's cheesy, but I like it.
All right.
Because I just think it's subtly sticking it to the WWE. Because they're using the universe thing and all those little catchphrases that the WWE loves. Like, why can't we just be WWE fans? Why do we have to be a universe?
You know what I just saw on Twitter quickly? Someone just pointed it out to me. John Cena completely breaking kayfabe on his account by congratulating Triple H for getting into the International Sports Hall of Fame. Dude, the guy just, like, completely crushed you on Monday Night Raw by firing everybody And now you're going to go on Twitter and be like, man, Triple H, well deserved, buddy. You're in the Hall of Fame. Like,
but we can't turn John Cena heel. That would ruin the company, right?
I hate this friggin' company, I swear to God.
Now, hold on, though.
15, it's the same stuff.
In all honesty, though, if they use that as a tease that he's really a heel, brilliant stuff. I don't think they're going to do that. But if they did, kudos to the WWE for that.
Triple H shows the tweet on the big screen.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That would be great. That would be great. Like, could you imagine they come out and, oh, John, yeah, all week I'm sure you were worried about your friends that got fired, but look what you happened to tweet on Friday afternoon. Boy,
oh, perfect.
I wonder what Dolph Ziggler was doing while you were tweeting congratulating me.
So, I was in a group chat with a couple of the WrestlingRumors.net guys, and they came up with this really cool plan to bring back Ryback and Rowan and Ziggler. Have them all come back wearing Sting masks. That would be super bad to the bone.
Okay.
What? I like it.
Okay, sure.
So how do you tick off Triple H? Have them wear Sting masks. And then you get the silly WrestleMania match.
I don't know. Didn't they do that in WCW where they had like 20 million people with Sting masks and they had a fake Sting? And
yeah.
I'm done with that. But you know me. I don't really clamor for Sting. I think it's not a thing for me.
I want Sting to cut a promo at WrestleMania and then he accidentally calls the show Bound for Glory.
That's not happening.
If Hogan could,
Hogan might.
Yeah, Hogan would do it.
Hogan might. You never know. Hogan might. Hogan, like, they need to tattoo where they are. I love how he throws, like, Stephanie under the bus for this, though.
Yeah.
Like this is typical Hogan. Like, this was part of the lies he told on Jericho's podcast, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
One of many. But
Hogan, he's a fibber.
He just, like, by his own self-admission, he can't remember things. And then he states things like they're fact.
Yeah.
Like this latest one, I've never heard this one. If you've heard this, let me know. He claims the big match, WrestleMania 1, right?
Yeah, the tag match, right?
Right. Mr. T, they had no idea where he was at 7 o'clock of that night of the show.
Really?
That's what he claims. And he claims that he had to, they found him, he had got stuck trying to get into Madison Square Garden, and Hogan went out there and smoothed it all out, got his whole entourage into the show, because that was the problem, because they weren't letting in Mr. T's entourage.
The guy who's competing in the main event of WrestleMania, and he's more concerned with his entourage getting in. And it could have screwed things up. I've never actually heard that story before.
That's why I wonder if it's even true. And he claims that T went missing like that whole week, too.
Well, I asked Mr. T about it, but I'm sure he would just ramble on.
He'd just tell you about how he loves his mama.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
He loves his mama. Oh, yeah, one little thing about TNA that we started the show with. I finally got to see, you mentioned mamas, I instantly think of our good former friend Brodus Clay. That's quite the beard he's grown for TNA.
I didn't see it. He has a beard now?
He's got, like, the same beard he had, but much more bushy now. That's
The
new wrestling thing.
Like Sheamus's, right? Where it's just, like, sticking out and
yeah, it's
pointing
like all
everywhere.
Fluffy, and it's, like, fluffed out. It's, like, I don't know. It's not a good look. Snoop Dogg is
now?
Not taking you back now.
What's
Tyrus now.
Yeah. Like Tyrus Thomas?
And one other thing I will say about TNA, EC3, that guy's awesome.
Yeah, he's good.
He shaved off Borash's hair.
Yeah.
That was great.
Borash, you poor soul.
Like, that's heel, man. If you literally are a TNA fan, Borash is TNA.
It's wonky heel, though, because why didn't he shave Spud's head?
Because Borash interrupted and slapped EC3 in the face.
Oh, okay.
Change of plans. The original thing was they were going to shave Spud's head, but they changed plans. And I mean, that is just, that would be like the WWE equivalent to that would be like shaving Howard Finkel, like, skin bald before he was skin bald.
That's being a team player, though. I mean, Borash, man, doing that in front of 500 fans.
That's
only
being an idiot.
Really
in all honesty, I don't know what Jerry B. Borash makes, but it's not enough to do that. Vince McMahon made a hell of a lot more getting his head shaved with Donald Trump and Stone Cold than Jeremy Borash made. Let's make no bones about that.
Well, I don't have any hair anyway, so if you want to shave my head every damn show, go ahead, because I'll do it otherwise.
Same with me. Like, I'm the shaved head look, too, so whatever. We'll close the show talking a little bit of Ring of Honor. They have done their first television tapings. We still don't know what the hell's going on with Adam Cole, because basically, apparently, he comes to the ring and basically just flips off the crowd and leaves.
Oh.
So, the intrigue, he is in a sling.
That would be an awesome way to leave the company.
He's not leaving the company. He isn't leaving the company, though.
Has he re-signed a new deal?
Well, he was at their television. He has to have, right?
Well, unless that was his last appearance.
Yeah, but I think he's back for a while, because WWE's not taking him in a sling.
That's true, yeah.
So, I think he's... Maybe he's signed a short-term deal. Maybe he has... Maybe he's there for another year. I don't know.
Well, the big takeaway from the television tapings, to me anyways, is what they're doing with Alberto. Because I thought, you know, his name, his history in WWE, he would be an easy guy to put into the world title mix. Whoa, slow down. That doesn't appear to be the case. I mean, you're aware of what's going on, right?
No. I don't want spoilers. I just...
No spoilers, okay. All right.
Well, Adam Cole flipped people off. I guess I did a spoiler, so there.
Yeah, you just gave everyone... Yeah, I'm double spoiling.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm not going to say what is actually happening, but it appears that he's going to be put into a program with Jay Lethal for the television title.
Oh, that works. That works. That would be a good match, too.
Yeah, with the way they're going to tease it over the next a few weeks and whatnot, I just felt like, you know, like I said earlier, like he's an easy guy to put into the world title, but the fact that ROH isn't like TNA and every former WWE guy needs to be champion within their first month or so, that's good for ROH. So I'm looking forward to Patron.
Whatever.
Versus Lethal.
Call him Del Rio. It doesn't bother
Del Rio.
Me. Yeah, Alberto, but no Ricardo with him, I don't believe, right?
Yeah, he's not there.
That's good. Anyway.
Good. No Ricardo.
No Ricardo. We don't want no Ricardo. Not in ROH anyway. I think he's going to be a big hit, and hey, they booked him strong. Like, they've done a good job booking him, like, with the matches they're setting up for him. He fights Daniels at those tapings. I forget his other two matches, but they're really great matches that they have him doing. And
they
then
weren't at the tapings, though.
Yeah, and then if he does Del Rio, if he does Lethal at the pay-per-view, which is, I assume, where they're going with that.
Yeah.
That would be a tremendous drawing match. And, you got Jay, and two, just with who is the ROH champion, Jay Briscoe and him doesn't seem like a good marriage to me.
Right.
Like, Jay Briscoe, brawler from the word go, Alberto Del Rio, technical wrestler, I just don't see that pairing.
Oh, yeah. Well, they are pairing someone with Jay Briscoe, but in a completely different way, a former TNA Knockout.
What? I heard about that.
Yeah,
I heard about that. Yeah, she's apparently a Briscoe now.
Yeah, one drunk Briscoe, they're calling her.
No, it was something else.
No, it's still ODB. It's one drunk.
Yeah, but no, you got the acronym wrong. There was something else. It's one dirty Briscoe, I think.
Oh, okay. Oh,
anyway, same thing.
Was it dirty in TNA? I thought it was drunk.
No. Well, maybe in TNA it was, but, people in TNA are drunk, so there you go.
Yeah, Dixie approves.
Although she claims her locker room is great now. Everything's fine. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry, everything's great.
That's what I was caring about here.
Yeah, because the TNA locker room, such as it is, has been great. You know what's interesting, though? Velvet Sky's back there, but no Bully Ray. And aren't they still dating?
Well, you have to stick. Well, if that's the case, CM Punk should still be in WWE. Because
that's a little bit different. I mean, we're talking different pay grades there.
Look, if you want a bold prediction, I think Bully Ray is going to be in the Royal Rumble.
No.
Do you want to bet?
I don't want to bet because I'm a poor man, but I don't see it happening.
We
can make some like bet where we can humiliate each other on this podcast if you like, but I'm not betting money.
That's my bold January prediction. I really do think he's going to be in the Royal Rumble, and if he's in there with Devon, I mean, it's ECW country.
Oh, well. You know what? On that light, because it's in Philadelphia as a one-off,
yeah,
makes a lot of sense. Long-term,
exactly.
I don't buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see. Now I'm concerned taking this side of the bet. We don't even have terms for this bet. Oh, I'll tell you what. We'll leave this for a week. We'll sleep on it. If I'm confident enough to go against this, I will. And we'll come up with some terms that do not involve cash.
Yeah.
And involve just our personal embarrassment on this podcast or something. Maybe, like, have to sing that Taylor Swift song that goes, like, with CM Punk. I won't sing it now because that would just ruin the whole thing. But you know the one that they made the video to, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe something like that. I don't know. We'll come up with something, folks.
Well, that'll be our how to get the viewers to come back next week.
We'll yeah, that's our big hook. One of us will be embarrassed, potentially, on this podcast down the line. That's your big hook for next week.
There
it was
go.
Better than what TNA did, I mean. No, maybe not. But anyway, yeah, so Ring of Honor, they had their tapings. Everything looks hunky-dory for them. Some great matches they have booked coming up. One of the ones that really caught my eye, Bullet Club versus The Kingdom. They have The Bucks versus The Kingdom, and I think it's AJ Styles, and I forget how it worked, but it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I should look it up.
Yeah,
so talk about something else while I look it up, Chris Walder. What is on your mind while I go check out ROH's Facebook?
And this could be about anything now.
No.
I'm a human vent machine.
Well, no, it's about wrestling. We are a wrestling podcast.
I
don't want to hear about how the Raptors have lost four in a row. Because I'm more mad about that than you, probably. Because I don't have to cover this team anymore. So I do that on my spare time now, and I was not impressed with how I spent my spare time last night.
I could vent about how Twitter going down during Monday Night Raw when it's super bad is like the worst thing ever, because social media in general almost keeps fans sane during Monday Night Raw.
Oh no, you know what has kept me sane? My birthday gift. I now have like DVR.
Yeah.
I DVR Raw all the time now.
Oh yeah?
I do not watch it live.
You're on the DVR bandwagon.
I can't take it live.
Yeah.
I just can't. It doesn't work for me. I came to another realization, and we're really digressing here at the end of the program. I came to another realization. I have always been someone who has rooted for heels in wrestling from when I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
I did not like the Hulk Hogan. I liked the Randy Savage. Obviously, with this podcast, the name of it, the website, it all kind of makes sense, right? But no, I have always liked the bad guys over the good guys. And I was watching Teletoon Retro, which for people not from Canada, that's like basically like the Cartoon Network. And they had like old Bugs Bunny stuff on. And that, and I realized when I was a kid, I always rooted for Wile E. Coyote and like Sylvester and like all the bad guys in the cartoons. I think that's where my love of heels began with
Looney
Tunes.
You're an evil man, James.
I like the Tasmanian Devil. I like, you know, like... And not only that, I also thought the baby faces in the cartoons were annoying. Like the Roadrunner and Tweety Bird, they just annoyed me.
Well, at least they didn't wear wristbands.
No, they didn't sell merch and wear wristbands, and they didn't do make-a-wishes, as far as I know. but you never know. Anyway, oh, here it is. I'm sorry. I got that mixed up. The Kingdom are fighting the Briscoes.
Yeah, I was about to
That's
say.
What it is. It's the Kingdom with Maria Kanellis with a rare appearance in the ring.
Hello.
Going against, it'll be her, Matt Taven, and of course her husband, Michael Bennett, against ODB and the Briscoes. And then the Bullet Club is fighting. This is how I got mixed up. We have the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks, very excited. AJ Styles versus, get this team, Matt Sydal, ACH, and Cedric Alexander. Those are on their January 24th card in Philadelphia.
I like that.
That is good. Royal Rumble beat that. Like, I'm serious. Royal Rumble beat that.
I wouldn't go that far. But.
Well, Royal Rumble is the following night. So ROH piggybacking on the WWE, as they like to do. Pretty good idea. That's a hell of a wrestling weekend. I wish I had money. I would be thinking about going to Philadelphia.
Hey, we got to save our money for Toronto, okay?
That's true. We don't go very far with our wrestling journeys. We stay local.
Yeah, we stay right down to the downtown.
We stay local. In fact, I'm going to the local show here in Hamilton this month for Alpha One, so we stay local. Cedric's going to be on that show, actually.
Oh,
Cedric
sweet.
Alexander and Artie Evans will also be in that that one for Alpha One. That's Sunday 18th in Hamilton on Queenston Road there. That's where they do their shows. I'll give you more information when it's getting closer. It'll be next week, so.
Well, enjoy.
I'll tell you then. Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm going to try to talk to RD and Cedric for the show. We'll see how it works out. I don't know if it will, but there you go. So maybe potential guests down the line. Who knows? But, yeah, that would be a heck of a wrestling weekend. And, of course, taking it full circle, last year's Royal Rumble, of course, had Adam Cole and Kevin Steen as fans at that Royal Rumble, where Daniel Bryan and the fans went insane. And we talked about that with Adam on this very program.
Right.
Yeah, so maybe more ROH stars will be in the crowd at this year's Royal Rumble. Maybe they'll make a run-in.
Ah, yeah, okay.
ROH runs in on the Royal Rumble.
Let's not go nuts.
Yeah, we could do a whole invasion angle. And then Daniel Bryan leads the ROH Revolution into WrestleMania.
Cesaro is back in the main event.
Yeah, he'd be Claudio Castagnoli again. It'd be great.
Hey.
Yeah, and Chris Hero will come back too, just to tag with him. And
I need to go to the training room first before he gets on that.
Yeah, we're totally losing focus and have lost our minds, but we are back, and we covered a lot in this program. A lot more happened since we were gone. John Jones is doing cocaine in the UFC. CM Punk, just briefly as we close out, did you happen to see the Q&A that CM Punk did for the UFC?
I did, and I completely regret it.
What a bunch of drunken losers.
They should have never allowed beer into that thing.
My God, was Bud Light giving away free beer at that?
Well, what was it? Like, it was like two questions that time. Are you going to perform at GTS in the Octagon? I just wanted to reach into my screen and dropkick them in the brain.
That was better than the guy that said, I followed you since you were in RTW.
Oh, yeah. That was one of those smarty fans who think, oh, I can drop RTW's name and CM Punk will give me an autograph or something. Like,
I don't even know what he was doing. That was like, I've watched CM Punk do the Comic-Con things, and you get a lot of weirdos there. Mm-hmm. But all of the weirdos are not drunk. And the fact that CM Punk is, of course, straight edge makes this all the more bizarre.
Yeah, do you want to come drinking with us at the bar afterwards?
Yeah, a guy offered to buy him a beer. Like, hello.
Go home.
He's got a tattoo on his stomach. Would you like me to show it to you? That will say he's not coming to have a beer with you. UFC really dropped the ball on that. And, of course, John Jones, the cocaine thing. That's a huge deal. UFC, they're not exactly thriving either. I mean, they're trying, but they were supposed to have this big month of fights. And, boy, oh, boy, it's off to a rocky start. So, who knows with them and, you know, the WWE coming up to their big season with WrestleMania and all of that and much up in the air. And I don't know. I really have a bad feeling about this WrestleMania. I think it's kind of eked out into the show over the last month, but I don't see this WrestleMania going well.
It has a lot to live up to after last year's great, great, great show. But yeah, there's still so many questions right now that it's just kind of like, wait, sit back, wait and see how the Royal Rumble plays out.
Yeah, it just, I just don't know. I just, like, I think this is a mess. Like, I really do. Like, I don't know where they're, like, I don't understand what the big match is going to be. Like, it's supposed to be Brock and Roman, but I'm not sure. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel bad for Roman Reigns. I really do, and I know fans hate on him and all that. And no, he's not a finished product, but my God, you couldn't have booked a worse scenario for him to come back to. He should have came back a conquering hero. Like, as I wrote, how hard would it have been to do, like, a 2.5-minute vignette, a bunch of them, for, like, about 4 weeks with Roman Reigns in the gym just lifting weights, getting sweaty, looking like he's getting ready to come back? How hard would that have been? Women, at least, would have loved that. A sweaty Roman Reigns working out in the gym? The female demographic approves.
Well, too late for that now. All we got were interviews that were pre-taped and had corny answers.
And then come back to face The Big Show.
Well, you know, no one's going to root for The Big Show.
No one's going to root for The Big Show. No, they're not. Know what they're rooting for? They're rooting for The Big Show to retire and take Kane with him. That's what they're rooting for. That's what people want to see.
Aren't we all? Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, it's one of those things. It's just, I don't know. And as much as I love the Authority, and I'm not nearly as ticked off as a lot of people are that they're back so soon, I really think they didn't help a thing being back. Like, I think they really screwed more up than they helped. Like, and it's sad to say, because I think Triple H and Stephanie do a fantastic job. I really do, but it's just, it wasn't the right time to have them come back.
Well, it's the road to WrestleMania. They need to start building up their storyline for the show, and it you know, in retrospect, it now makes Survivor Series completely, you know, I mean, in the history books, it doesn't really mean anything, especially Dolph Ziggler's big win. I mean, who cares at this point? They're back, you know, less than, even WWE.com says it's been months since they've been gone. No, it's been weeks since they've been gone. Like, give it
it's
up.
It's been like 6-7 weeks, but yeah. Part of that was during the holidays, which, I mean, that makes a couple of those weeks not seem as relevant, too.
Oh, sure.
Because, yeah. Like, I mean, who's really watching Raw the week of Christmas or the week of New Year's? I mean, sure, some people do, but a lot of people tune out at that time, so it makes it feel like even less. And I just thought the timing on them coming back was really mistimed. And like I said earlier, I think it's hurt Seth Rollins. I think bringing that whole menagerie that is the Authority, which doesn't make a lot of sense now, back together, I just don't like it. And I mean, trading off Randy Orton for The Big Show, not a good look for the Authority, clearly. And you know, it's screwed up so many things, and I don't know where exactly this is going, but it hasn't been good. And I just think they should have done it coming out of the Royal Rumble. That's what I believe. Something should have happened at the Royal Rumble where John Cena, like, was... That's when he brought back the Authority.
Yeah. Well, too late for that now, buddy.
I understand. I'm just saying, in a perfect world, I think that's where it should have happened.
You well, from now until forever, it seems, we'll start off Raw with 20-minute Authority promos. Until, you know, Sting saves the day.
It was fun being back, and we hope you have found us being back. In 2015, we're going to try and make this thing bigger and better. I think in 2014, we were probably the best podcast a lot of people had never heard of. This year, we want to try and change that and make a hell of a lot more people hear of us. And it is fun having you back for another year of the podcast, Chris Walder.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad to be back. It's a new year. Big expectations for the two of us. Hopefully, even bigger expectations for the world of wrestling. A lot to look forward to. Just don't replace me, okay? I know you got someone in the wings that you talk to. I'm talking about you, Josh. It's Walder time here.
I have never thought of replacing you. Josh fills in the odd time when you can't be here, but I've never thought of replacing you, Chris Walder. I am not going to issue those famous words, "You're fired," to you. That's not going to happen.
And then I'll be back next week to...
That's right. Yeah, WWE logic. If you're fired, you'll just be back in a month. Don't worry about it.
The confetti comes down from the ceiling. The music is playing. Walder walks away. And then next week, bam! Can't get rid of me that easy.
Yeah, he shows up on ROH, cutting a promo, bashing our podcast.
Walder Christopher.
Anyway, we are about out of time. That was our podcast. We welcome you back. We hope 2015 is treating you well, and we hope you had a great holiday season. We are back now on that road to the Royal Rumble and eventually to WrestleMania. Theoretically, we're not actually going, but physically we're not going, but mentally we're on that road, Chris Walder.
The highway to hell.
It's coming out that way. Hopefully it's a lot better than that, folks. That's it for us this week.